Someone once asked a class of theology students if they knew the one moment in Scripture that was depicted more often in Christian art than any other. Everybody in the class agreed it must be the birth of Christ.
Wrong.
It's the moment we encounter in the gospel that I just proclaimed, the Annunciation. And just look, here is the story. Who has not tried to picture this scene? Artists and iconographers have painted it, sculpted it, and imagined it. And perhaps you can speculate on the reasons why. It's the true beginning of the life of Christ, the very moment when salvation began. Mary's yes to the angel Gabriel's words set the stage for the greatest event in salvation history, God becoming human. But there's something else this one moment in salvation history says to us in a very powerful way in this 21st century. It's because the Annunciation is defiantly countercultural. It's a challenge that is offered, and to our amazement, accepted. With Mary's yes, she was changed, and so were we. And from that moment on, and forever, there was a new openness to God, and a new moment, a new movement of God's power. My friends, in our gospel today, an angel, a messenger of God, comes to a young woman and tells her something incredible. She will bear a child. It's an event she never anticipated, one that she never planned for. Mary's practically a child herself in a poor town at the bottom of the social ladder. And she's being told that God wants her to play a critical role in salvation history. God's messenger comes to Mary not in a moment of quiet prayer, not as she kneels in some corner of her room, but in the course of her ordinary day-to-day life. It's in her activity and not her rest that God addresses her suddenly without warning. But the angel reassures Mary that in the midst of this messy situation, God will bring forth blessing and salvation for all. God's messenger assures Mary that she's not alone, because her cousin Elizabeth will help mentor and support her. And in that moment of doubt and confusion, Mary utters the first words in the gospel, words that speak for all of us. How can this be? She seeks an answer, an explanation, some plausible reason for something so implausible. Brothers and sisters, how many of us have asked the same question? How often have we struggled to understand God's plan in our lives? How many of us have been blindsided by events that we never expected, a twist on life's path that we never saw coming, for better or for worse, and asked ourselves in fury or despair or bewilderment, how can this be? How could this happen? And here, Mary is told simply, nothing is impossible with God. And that's enough. That's all Mary needs to hear. She accepts God's will and carries it out. How is it that someone so young can so easily say yes to what undoubtedly will be difficult and painful and maybe even scandalous? In the face of the impossible, God works the possible. Mary is asked to believe this. She is open and accepting of God's grace, God's presence within her, and gives the gift back to God. Mary relinquishes control of her life to make room for God. And like the temple we hear about in our first reading that David wants to build for the Lord, Mary becomes that temple. Mary becomes that dwelling place, that new ark of the covenant, the bearer of God. Mary becomes, if you will, the first altar of the incarnation's mystery. As handmaid of the Lord, Mary reveals to us the cost and the joy of belonging to a God whose word will be done in us if we allow God to build us into a house of the Word's dwelling. Mary very powerfully opens us to the mystery of God, who dwells not in a tent or a cedar house or a palace, but in the human heart. So then, how do we respond to the Gabriels in our own lives? How do we react when God suddenly knocks on our door to announce a change in plans? When the doctor calls, when the market fails, when a child becomes ill, or a parent is bedridden, or the pregnancy results aren't what you thought they'd be or wanted them to be. We may find ourselves brought up short by life. We may feel disappointment, confusion, maybe even pain and anger. And we may ask those words that Mary asked so long ago, how can this be? Brothers and sisters, we are reminded during these last days of Advent that the very name of the Savior, Emmanuel, gives us that consolation, gives us that hope, because God is with us. Today at this Eucharistic liturgy, we light the last of the four candles of our Advent wreath. But those candles, like all ritual candles, will burn out. And it's up to us, we who are disciples of the light of the world, to catch fire from Christ's mystery and bring something of that fire and light into our own lives, especially into the lives of those whose Christmas may not be a feast of joy, but a time of darkness because of death or separation, divorce, or family quarrels. For the friendless, the homeless, and the abused, Christmas may arouse bitter comparisons and regrets. The fire we catch from Christ the light may be as simple as a visit, a letter, a phone call, and an invitation to a meal. My friends, in the advents of our lives, God calls us to bring his Christ into our own time and place. May we respond with the faith and trust of Mary, putting aside our own doubts and fears to say, I am your servant, God. Be it done according to your word. Brothers and sisters, let's create the wonder of this Christmas anew by saying yes to God at all times, and bringing Jesus, the light, into the world, because nothing is impossible with God. Amen.